Hey, welcome to Terry and Gary's Low Expectations Podcast.
Pro wrestling superstar Rhino and his co-host Gary come to you live each week with guests from the world of pro wrestling, comics, movies, sports, and more. So if your standards aren't too high, Terry and Gary's Low Expectations Podcast is for you.
Even today, you know, when I'm in there wrestling, I feel energized. I feel good. I feel like I've got a lot left in the tank.
Good things are going, baby.
They don't lie.
You have to grow a mohawk so that you can go by the name Kleba Lang.
The ratings are through the roof right now.
Right.
Catch Terry and Gary every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern live on Podcast Detroit. Download Terry and Gary or stream on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or the Terry and Gary TV YouTube channel. You know what to do next. Leave your expectations at the door and enjoy the show.
All right, we're live. Episode 92, yeah. Terry and a curtsy. Well, bound to the queen.
For the queen. For the queen.
Because we're extreme today.
May I just say that was the cutest intro for a podcast I've seen ever.
Well, thank you.
Leave your expectations at the door. I love it. Yeah, please do with me, especially. But
it has nothing to do with our guests. It's just we're not prepared. We don't ask good questions. We're just
why are we here? What are we doing?
Well, let's rephrase that. We try to do our best.
Right.
You know, I tell my kids that's all you can do. If you try your best, it's the best thing ever. So you're trying your best, and that's all you can ask for.
Right, right.
But thank you for having me. I'm pleased to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on, and thank you for coming and doing our show on the March 23rd. So we're very excited to have you.
I cannot wait for that. I don't think I've been in Michigan since ECW.
Really?
It's been a hot minute. Yeah. Probably 25 years.
Yeah. Well, Michigan is happy to have you back, right, Gary?
And we probably haven't changed much, so.
Right.
We're still skating like a minute. Is that it?
Right, right. Well, I was doing it like that, but I think it comes across backwards on TV. So
you're doing a princess wave is what you're doing.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The queen.
Yeah. Right. But seriously, I have not been there. It's been 1999, 2000, something like that.
Last time we probably were there. 2000. Yeah.
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 So I'm excited.
Gary, you probably, Gary Sharon, everything.
One right, sure right. Knows that we are alive with the Queen of Extreme, Francine from ECW, WWE. It's just she's been all around the world.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Big traveler, world traveler, right here.
World traveler.
Yeah. Right. That's right. Right. Yeah.
So let me get this straight, because Wikipedia probably lies a lot. But so you went from Catholic schoolgirl to insurance salesman to the Queen of Extreme.
That is true. I did. I graduated high school. I took a job right away as a, I worked in the mailroom at a life insurance company. And I think I had to work in the mailroom for like 6 months before I could apply for a desk job. And I did that. I delivered mail. And then I went to data processing. And I was there for maybe like a year or two. And I remember I hated it because, like, I didn't even have a window. I had a cubicle, like, in the middle of the office. I couldn't even look out the window. It was, like, really crappy. And I remember one day I hung like, a Chippendale calendar up or something, and I got in trouble for that. And then I had my head down because I had a headache, and I got in trouble for that. And then an agent blamed me for something I didn't do. So I got in trouble for that as well. And I just hated it there. And I went home crying because I was just like, this isn't what I'm supposed to do with my life. But I had no clue what I wanted to do. Like, I always wanted to be a nursery school teacher, but I never went to college, right? So now I'm 20 years old. And I just turned on the TV one day and I just got into wrestling. Like, I just started watching wrestling, and I was a big WWF fan because that's what we got, you know, in Philadelphia. We got that. We also got Global from Florida, and started watching those two. And one day I just saw ECW, but it was Eastern Championship Wrestling. And like, I never, ever thought to like, get into the business. Like, I didn't have dreams. Like, Terry, you were probably growing up wanting to be a professional wrestler. A lot of the guys grow up and they want to be professional wrestler. I didn't. I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to get married young, have like 5 kids. And then I wanted to be a nursery school teacher. That's my life. That was my life goal at the time. But I saw this program and I just watched it for like, I don't know, a month or two. And they had this commercial, and this was way before you came in, but it was a generic as hell commercial. And it was like, if you want to be a referee, a manager, or a wrestler, call this number. And I had no idea. Like, I didn't know anybody in the business. I didn't have any friends in the business, but I knew I needed a job. And I was watching what the women were doing. I was like, I think I can do that, but let me see. So I picked up the phone and I called. And remember Bob Ortiz? He was our ring announcer. Yep. His wife Lex used to put like the spread in the back for us. She would have like apples and gummy worms and the weirdest concoction of food. But they were such a sweet couple. But she answered the phone and she's just like, well, you need to talk to Todd Gordon. And I said, well, who's that? And she said, well, he's kind of the owner of the company and you need to go see him. I said, okay. So he was down in where I worked in Center City. That's where my life insurance company was. And so I knew the area, but he worked at a pawn shop, still does to this day. And I've told this story so many times. I was so intimidated because I was 20 years old, bars covering the whole, like the windows, the door. You had to ring a bell. They buzz you in. And then it was people behind bars, not jail cell bars, but like, you know, they had diamonds and they had all the jewelry. And she was like, can I help you? And I just said, I'm here to see Todd Gordon. She said, well, you got to walk down that hall. And it was like this seemed like forever, this long hallway, and make a left or whatever she said. And I'm just walking by myself and I'm looking around and there he is. And he's sitting there like with his feet on the desk with he's like this. He looks at me and all he said was, oh, you're really pretty. You'll never have to bump.
Yeah.
I didn't know what a bump was.
Right.
I don't know what a bump is. And I go, okay. And then he goes, sit down. And I mean, they had a training facility in the back of the arena. That's where people trained to be wrestlers. And like Stevie Richards would train there. There was a bunch of people who trained there. And so he initially wanted me to sign up for wrestling school. And that's what I did. I signed up and I started training. And I thought I was going to be this big women's wrestler. You know, they were teaching me how to take bumps and to, like, I had to do a match in front of Todd and all this kind of stuff. But the first night that I met Paul, he like put the kibosh on that. And he's just like, you're not going to be a lady wrestler because they don't make money in this business. He goes, you're going to be a manager and I'm going to make you money. And I was just like, okay. So the wrestling went out the window and I kind of stopped training at that point, but I kind of learned as I went along. So like, you know, you would say, oh, I'm going to give you, let's say the gore. I never took the gore, but I'll take it for you. Just lead me. Like all those bumps I took, like I never practiced anything. I was just like, okay, I trust you. Do it. Let's just do it.
I've seen a couple choke slams you've taken from, what was it? 911.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, that was the first one of the first bumps I took in front of Paul. They had me come to Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania, and I was Miss Montgomeryville. I won a fake beauty pageant, and I was the guest timekeeper. So
wait a second. So in wrestling, you're saying you're a beauty pageant winner, and you weren't actually a beauty pageant winner?
I don't even think Montgomeryville had a beauty pageant. I don't know what was going on, but no one knew me.
Go on. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. No one knew who I was. I'd never worked before. So they said, you know, go buy some kind of a dress. And I remember, I think I went to like the mall because I didn't know where to shop. And I think I went to like Macy's or something like hideous. And I bought an ugly ass dress. I might've had gloves. I don't know what I was doing, but I remember the dressing room was on like the second floor and you had to walk down steps. And I was so terrified that I was going to fall down these steps, and they had a like this wooden staircase. So I was doing this and trying not to fall. And they announced me as Miss Montgomeryville, and I come down and I'm walking, and I had to sit at the timekeeper table and just ring the bell after the matches. So they had me out there like for a little bit before I was supposed to take the choke slam to make it legit. Like, okay, she's here to be the guest timekeeper. But I remember saying to Paul, like, I don't know what a choke slam is.
Right.
Like, because nobody did that in wrestling school to me yet. I don't know what that is. And he was like, oh, you don't want to do it. I was like, no, I'll do it. Like, what is it? And they were like, don't worry, Al will take care of you. It just, he'll grab you and lift you up and slam you. And I go, okay. So I saw him coming towards me, and he like literally drags me across the timekeeper table into the ring, and I take it. And it was like that white noise where everybody, like, you heard like a gasp and then you heard nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm just laying there, and they put me on like a gurney, a stretcher. They took me to the back and they put me in Stevie Richards' car and made him drive me home.
Yeah.
And I didn't even go to the locker room. And I, so yeah. I'm in the car and I'm just like, wow, I don't know if that was good or bad. Like, do people typically leave like after a spot? I don't know what's going on, but it was like that old school atmosphere. Oh, she has to go to the hospital. They broke her neck or she's hurt or something, you know.
Yeah.
I was only about 110 pounds back then. And, I just waited, and then they called me and they were like, yeah, Paul liked what you did. You want to come back? And I was like, yeah.
So was it fun? So was getting chokeslam fun at the time? Was it scary?
No, I was terrified.
Yeah,
you don't want to watch it. You still cringe and go, well, how did that not break her in half?
I cringe at everything that I did. The outfits that I wore, the mannerisms that I had as a mother. What the hell was I doing? Like, I don't want my kids seeing that kind of stuff. So we don't watch it in this house. But I look back and I'm just like, holy crap. Like, that.
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
All you have to say is, it was the 90s.
It was the 90s. Everybody did it back then. It's fine.
Right. Jacob Webster said he always loved a 911 chokeslam. And I was thinking maybe you wouldn't like it so much if you were actually getting the one being chokeslammed. So
I was going to say, Jacob Webster never took it. So maybe that's why he liked it so much.
Exactly.
They were fun to watch. They weren't fun to take.
Right.
But,
yeah, 911 was so over. Paul really got him over in that whole choke slam thing, and how he'd come out and
yeah. He was a monster back then.
Yeah,
he really. And you know what's funny? We just saw him at the arena.
Yeah, at the arena
in December. Yeah. And I don't know if my shoes got higher, but he's not as big as I remember.
Right.
I don't know if I'm wearing bigger stilettos these days or
maybe.
Whatever.
Yeah,
but he just, he's a big teddy bear, and I love Al. I always have, and he never intentionally hurt me. But, you know, sometimes when you take a bump, you hit your head, and things can go awry. I never got really hurt from a choke slam, but it didn't feel good.
No, not at all.
No.
Tony Lewis wants to say hi.
Hello, Tony.
And Jacob Webster came back and said he would definitely not want to take a 911 choke slam. That's probably a good choice.
Yeah.
And we got Brad Raska wants to know if you have any good memories with Triple Threat, Shane Douglas, Chris Candido, and Bam Bam Bigelow.
Wow. Shane and I were partners for about 3.5 years before he left for WCW. So the four of us, we traveled together a lot. And
that's what a lot of teams did, especially back then. You know, if you're a tag team, you travel together. If you're a group, you travel together. And, and that's the way it was. And I think that's what made a lot of that stuff better, is because they would bounce ideas off each other. But go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt.
No, your point. Yeah, it's a good point. Like long car rides, you could talk about what you were going to do that night. And we were just close. We were close in and out of the ring. You know, they were all like my brothers, and they took care of me and they watched over me, because I didn't have that female kind of role model coming into the business. Like, no one took me under their wing, but Shane did. I didn't have a female to do that for me. So I kind of gravitated towards the guys more because we didn't really have a lot of girls working for us at the time either. But we were very close, like I said, in and out of the ring. They were fun to work with, especially on house shows. Like Chris Candido, my God, he was the best at just making you break character and laugh when you're not supposed to. And just all three of them were just great workers. And I just feel like the triple threat, I might be biased, but they're just so underrated as a faction. I think they were incredible together. And I was just happy to be a part of it. So
You were there when Terry came in to ECW, right?
Oh yeah. I was there when the ship sank. So
are you saying that Terry sank the ship, or is that
no? I don't think we were on the ship. Sank. Yeah.
So they actually bought me a jar of Nutella. Yeah, they were on the way. Who was it? You and someone else, and because I told them my love of Nutella.
See.
And they bought a thing of Nutella. They seen it. They're like, oh, we gotta bring it. And that's before it really became big over here in the States. You can only find it in certain places. So see, yeah, probably didn't remember that.
I do nice things for nice people.
Right.
That's how
I'm like, ooh, Nutella.
It's good stuff.
Right. You know how you're describing Todd's pawn shop?
Yeah.
That's kind of a lot like my house. A lot of bars on the windows. And when you buzz yourself in,
and
you're usually sitting at a desk in the back that, you know, with his feet up. And
yeah. I'm a little intimidated to come to Michigan now. I don't know if I'm going to make the trip or not.
No. We'll see. You'll be fine.
So. Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure.
We got another question, if you don't mind. Glenn wants to know a question for Francine. What was your most memorable moment in your career, or a moment you would have done differently?
Memorable moment in my career? Probably, I mean, there were a lot of them. I think the thing that changed my career was the table spot with we had a four corners match. So it was Shane Douglas against Too Cold Scorpio, Chris Jericho, and Pitbull number two. And I was still with the Pitbulls at the time. And Paul called me, I don't know if it was a week before or the day before. But I didn't really, like, I was kind of in the dark. I didn't really know where the angle was going. And the whole time I thought I was supposed to end up with Brian Lee, because Brian Lee told me he was pitching to Paul to put me as his manager. And I'm saying to myself, but I'm in this angle with, you know, Anthony Durante and Shane Douglas. How does Brian Lee steal me away from these two? Like, I didn't understand what was going on. So Paul called me and he was like, you know, it's going to happen. I go, I think I'm going to be with Brian. And he goes, who told you that? I said, Brian. He's like, no. I said, oh, okay. And he says, we're going to put you with Shane Douglas. And I said, oh. And I honestly guess I was still so green and naive. I didn't really catch on to what was happening. But he said, you're going to be the first girl that I know of to go through a table. And right then and there, I think I turned to milk white. And I was just like, oh, no. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And he's like, you're going to be fine. It's going to help your career. And I said, okay. So I remember the night before I got sick to my stomach. I don't know if I threw up. I can't remember, but I couldn't sleep because I was so nervous. Yeah. And I just remember once the match was like an hour long. By the time we got through all the eliminations and it was the last two, it was Shane and Anthony. And I was just, you know, when you have a big spot and you're just standing out there waiting for your turn, it's like my heart was palpitating for like 60 minutes straight. I couldn't wait till it was over. And then once the table broke and I just laid there, it was like,
right.
Relief. And I just remember Paul saying, you know, big things are coming for you too. And I was like, okay. So I was just excited to see what was going to happen. And I don't know, Shane and I had a really good pairing. So yeah. It was.
Well, you were like the head cheerleader and he was like the quarterback. And that was kind of like the thing.
That's it. That's exactly what Paul said. And he also used to call us JR and Sue Ellen because we were the heels from Dallas, he used to say. Right. And, yeah, but that's how he put it. He goes, you're the head cheerleader. Of course, everything had an innuendo, so head cheerleader. And I was just like, really? Can't you use something else? But no, we couldn't. But yeah, he's like, all right, we're going to give you guys the ball. You have to run with it. So I was like, okay. So I went from a little bit of being a baby face to I had to be a full-blown heel now.
Yeah.
And that came really easy for me. So it was fun. It's just, you know, it's just fun to play a character because in reality, the heels are baby faces in real life. I believe the baby faces are the bigger heels.
In real life. Yeah, that's so true. I think
it's reversed. You get a couple good ones out there, but there's a lot of them who are.
Right. Now, what do you think? You know, obviously there's a lot more opportunities for women in wrestling today, and especially wrestling. Do you think because of that, they shy away from having female valets? And I think female valets are, I think, as important, if not just as important as male managers. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I know, like, the way Paul described it to me when I was telling you earlier about me thinking I was going to be this female wrestler, right? He was, one of the things he made very clear to me was people like the aspect of not knowing what's going to happen. If it's too predictable, you're not going to get a response from the crowd. But when you see a girl or a guy on the outside, you never know when they're going to jump in the ring and do something. And that just adds to the story. You know what I mean? And like in today's wrestling, I don't watch too much of it at all. Like I'll be honest with you. I do a lot of clips online. I keep up with my friends that way. I don't sit there for hours and watch, you know, the programs. I just don't have the time or the love for it anymore. I kind of switched gears. But I noticed they're not using a lot of women in that way. And I feel like that's a mistake. I feel like they can add so much more, especially if you got guys that aren't drawing the heat that they need to draw. If you put a manager or valet out there, I just think it adds so much more to the story. And I think, I think they should bring back the managers. I think they added a lot to it.
They did.
Yeah. So I don't know. If I had a company, I would hire a bunch of women and wrestle, and you stand at ringside and you do some cool stuff.
Right. Exactly. That's what we try to.
Exactly what Don said.
Right. That's his wife. Oh, we get a lot of great ideas from her too.
I'm sure you do. Cause
she's outside of the box looking in, you know, and sometimes you're so focused and then the answer is right there. And, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, you don't see it. And then,
I mean, that's what I think. I've always enjoyed not knowing, you know, not being so predictable and just seeing somebody on the outside, like, what are they going to do? Are they going to get involved? And then when they don't get involved, you're like, well, they didn't even utilize that person. Like, what are they doing? You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Well, I think when we were growing up, you know, we seen Miss Elizabeth and, you know, other valets like that. And now the girls that are growing up, you know, they're watching the female wrestlers and they're like, oh, I want to be a female wrestler. So I think that's why, you know, there's not any female valets and stuff. So
that could be a reason. The women are being used in such a positive light these days as wrestlers. You know, gone are the days of the pillow fights and the cheesy, little gimmick matches that they only get 2 minutes for. I mean, women are headlining shows now, and it's a big deal.
Which is great. Yeah,
it's wonderful. But, you know, there's still, like I said, I never aspired to be in this sport. So when I started, I thought I wanted to be a wrestler. But in reality, I think I did well in the role that I was given. Maybe better than if he did use me as a wrestler, because ECW really didn't use women in that way. We didn't have a women's division. We had Jazz, but she was wrestling guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember in the early days, they would have like one women's match people wouldn't really be into it. And it was sad because the girls were working just as hard as the guys were.
Right.
So there, I don't know. I guess Paul had a point, but that was the 90s. And now we're, you know, 2023 is a whole new different story. So.
Yeah. And those women could out wrestle me. That's why I won't wrestle a female, because they'll kick the shit out of me in 2 minutes.
Have you ever done an intergender match?
In ECW and stuff, we've done. Well, I've worked with females and stuff. Well, you know, yeah. We've worked together and stuff.
Sure. But,
I probably have. You know, so
like but how it was Bill Rhino against So-So. Like,
I don't think so. It hasn't been built like that. Maybe a mixed tag and stuff. But yeah.
Right. So, hey, Gary, did you know Rhino broke my nose intentionally? Yeah. One night?
Intentionally?
Yeah, intentionally. No, it was an accident. But yeah. After several decades, he finally confessed to it. But I knew it. I knew it was him.
Yeah. Wait, how did he know?
Because they watched the tape, but I didn't fess up to her that I knew I broke her nose before she watched the tape. I just fessed up to that 20-some years later.
Yeah.
Well, 20 years later. What had happened is Sandman comes up with these great ideas when he's drunk, and they're not great ideas, but to him. So he's like, oh, what I'll do is I was Francine was managing Justin, and Justin, I think, was heavyweight champion. And we were wrestling Chili Willy, and which was a guest on our show, and Sandman. And Sandman goes, oh, you're sitting up on the turnbuckle. I'll jump up to do a Frankensteiner, which he's done before. But you pick me up in power. Or when I jump up, Francine will grab my leg. And then you stand up and, you know, powerbomb me into the ring. And he's not graceful, you know, when he does things. So when he jumped up, he like literally threw his crotch and everything at my face. So I start to fall backwards, and Francine's there to grab his leg, but we're falling. And then as we fall over, and it's cement on the floor, we never use crash pads, only in New York because the commission made us. And then I grab the steel right behind the turnbuckle. And if I didn't grab that, he would have landed on his head. So I tried to catch us and hold us. But I was able to grab that so he could rotate under and I could fall over. And then we came down and my boot came and hit her right in the face. Right. And she goes, oh, Sandman's leg hit me in the face. And I'm like, oh, did it? Oh, you
know. Sorry.
So then the next day, because she, you know, blood everywhere. And the next day she goes, oh, it was your boot that hit me in the face. And she wasn't mad.
No,
but I didn't have the heart to tell her, oh, I knew that. And I didn't want to fess up to it, you know. But so anyways, if she didn't watch that damn tape,
I mean, I never got mad when I got hurt.
Yeah, well, it was an accident. It was, and stuff, totally, and everybody was really, yeah. I remember one time Jack Victory came in and whacked Sandman over the back. He was covering me with the kendo stick, and it came right around and broke my nose.
See?
Yeah, that was the first time. Yeah, so I'm blowing my nose and I'm like blowing out cartilage and stuff. And I come to find out you're not supposed to do that.
Oh, you're supposed to leave it in your nose.
What's that?
You're supposed to leave the snot.
Yeah, like, I'm just blowing in. It's all coming out. It's supposed to come out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that came out that apparently wasn't supposed to. So
happened all the time, like accidents. Like the night that Bam Bam, I had to run in on Bam Bam, which made no sense. I mean, Bam Bam's a monster. They make me run in and try to hurt him. I'm like, okay. And I remember him, I said to him, what do you want to do to me that night? And he's just like, oh, I'll just do something, you know, don't worry about it. And this is me just trusting people, saying, okay. And I go in and I smack him. I think I smacked him across the face. And he decides he's going to pick me up and press me in the air. Like just like this, you know, so my body's like this, but I'm like 10 feet in the air, and he just dumped me to the side. And
yeah.
So a month before, or 2 months before, something like that, I had just gotten my boobs done. So I didn't want to land, you know, when you're that high, it could punk. Yeah, they could have burst. So I was afraid I was going to land on my, you know, flat on my chest. So I was trying to take a back bump as I'm trying to rotate in the air, because I'm not a full blown wrestler, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
I land on my hip and I broke my pelvis. And I don't know if you were there that you were with us yet.
No, I don't think so. No,
I ended up breaking my pelvis in two places. So you saw it pop out and go back in on the film. And it was so bad, Paul wouldn't air it. Because literally, I mean, I screamed and I couldn't move the left side of my body. So they had to drag me out. And this was in Philly at the arena. And they took me in the back room. And, you know, we had an ambulance. And Paul said, you have to go to the hospital. I said, I'm not going to the hospital. And he said, okay. And remember the wood steps that went to, you know, the bathrooms that were upstairs?
He said,
if you can walk up those wooden steps by yourself, you don't have to go to the hospital. And I go, yeah, okay. So, and I stood up and I collapsed because I could not put pressure on my left side.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Mark, the foot doctor, it was just at the arena. He ended up taking me in the ambulance and they took x-rays and they were like, yeah, it's broken two places. And I was like, oh, so I was on crutches for like 7 weeks and like Bam Bam felt terrible. Yeah. And I never got mad at him. I was just like, it's fine, you know. I just didn't know what to do. Somebody just throws you. Like I was just back bump. I have to take a back bump. I couldn't get my body to spin around quick enough and I landed on my side, unfortunately. So it happens, you know, but I never, unless it was intentional, I was never mad at anybody because I know stuff happens in the ring.
Yeah, that's what Gary does. He practices wrestling moves on his wife.
No, Terry practices wrestling moves at Lowe's Depot and hits me in the back chair. Oh, yeah. You know.
That's fun.
I was hitting him with a chair. We were going to buy chairs for the show. And I'm like, Gary, bend over, like, hitting him with a chair.
See, this is the stuff you need to film for your podcast.
Podcast, right.
People love to see that kind of stuff.
It was one time deal.
Right. Gary's like, no more. I'm not the wrestler here.
It's hilarious.
So have you ever had a manager, Terry?
No. Well, Steve Carino, he was kind of like, I was, when we tagged and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I worked. I helped you a little bit.
Yeah.
But he beat me up most of the time. We were usually on opposite sides of the ring.
Right.
I took a lot of gores.
Right.
Yeah.
And then other than that, no, I don't think I've had a manager.
So. No. We'll have to get you on IWR.
Yeah, I roll solo.
You don't need no stinking manager. You're too over. See, that's what happens when you're so over. You don't need any help.
I paid her to say that.
Yeah.
Not enough.
No, but you'll love the crowd in Monroe. They're really with it, and you know they're great. They're responsive, and yeah, they'll be happy to see you.
Why is the company? Why is one word insane?
Because we're insane.
What am I looking for when I enter this arena?
Right. A lot of insane people.
A bunch of psychopaths in this company.
Right. It's the house of insanity.
I can't wait. It's going to be a good time. I'm not going to do anything on Thursday nights. So why not?
Right. You'll feel it's got a good, like, kind of an ECW vibe. You know, we really focus on, you know, wrestlers and the strengths. We don't try to, you know, add lighting and add this and add that. We really focus on, you know, putting on a great show for a great event for, you know, the fans and the boys love, you know, going there. So
there's no pyro for my entrance. Oh God.
We're working on it.
Talk to my agent about this booking.
Right, we're looking at the budget. So.
I'll stand there with a lighter.
That's right. Just do like some flashlights for me.
We'll get sparklers. We can probably
sparklers are right? Good, you know. I don't know.
Ish.
Yeah, maybe flashlights. I think we got a few in the truck. So.
You do flash? I do that for my kids in the dark. It looks like a discotheque. Just get a bunch of flashlights. It'll be fun.
Now, how many kids do you have?
I have two. My daughter will be 14 this summer. My son just turned 11 a couple days ago. Yeah, they're getting big. So I wanted another one, but my husband said, get out of here.
Yeah, right. All right.
I said, yeah, I want five. I wanted five going in.
Now, don't you guys have an insurance company? So you can full circle?
Yeah, we do. We're not going to talk too much about where it is or the name, but
no.
I'm supposed to
bring that up, but you went full circle. That's basically.
I know. What I know. I did.
You don't get in trouble there, though, right?
No, because we're like the bosses.
That's right.
Yeah, right. I don't have to answer to anybody, but cool. Yeah,
she's mean mugging everybody. She's hanging up the Chippendale calendars anywhere.
Over the place. Oh, right. Man, all over the office. Yeah, it wasn't like a penis was hanging out. It was like a calendar, and they were like, "You have to take that down." And I was like, "You need to get a life."
Right.
God, 20 years old. Just let me live my life. But
right.
I didn't want to.
We'll get Terry on the cover of our IWR calendar and see how that's.
No, you don't want. You know,
you have a calendar.
No.
You should make one.
We could. They actually sell, believe it or not.
They do.
Yeah.
I didn't know people even still use calendars. I mean, everything's on your phone.
Yeah, but if somebody really likes you guys, like is a real fan, they'll buy calendars.
Man caves and stuff. I see calendars all over the place hanging up in shops and stuff. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I can make you guys $1 trillion.
Right. There you go.
I got ideas in my head.
We're just looking for a billion. We don't need a trillion.
You should hire me. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
No, but I am looking forward to coming out there.
Now, we got you in management. It doesn't pay anything.
Oh, perfect. Right. Just like the ECW days. All right.
I was just going to say that.
Right? Brilliant.
We're definitely looking forward to having you. We got a couple people that want to say some weird stuff. Like Brad's never had Nutella, so.
Oh, Brad, you should. It's delicious.
And we got Darius Payne saying ECW. A lot of fans from ECW. I mean, that thing is just really – it just seems like it's gotten bigger over the years after it was over. Instead of, like, fading away, it just – people just won't let
ECW.
It. Yeah.
I think because of, the WWE Network and now with Peacock – and they're rerunning all of the older episodes and stuff. Like, we get kids that come up to us at these times. Yeah. And they're like, oh, I loved your angle with so-and-so in 97 when you did that. And I'm like, you're 10 years old. What are you talking about? But they're watching it like it's current TV.
Right.
And they dig it.
They're showing them. Yeah.
Yeah. They're into it. So it helps us a lot too, because it's kind of like, we are getting fans that we would never have
if it wasn't for the network and stuff. Yeah.
If it weren't running. Yeah. I'm really grateful for that. That helps us out. So
Darius wants to know, Francina, what was your worst experience in ECW? Did you?
Probably the story I just said when I broke my pelvis.
Right.
must have missed that, Darius. She broke her pelvis.
Yeah, and then the boys were trying to, like, some of the boys were trying to steal my pain pills.
Like, she won't need them. She's going to the hospital. She'll get a refill.
I came back, and I was on, they gave me morphine, and they gave me Dilaudid, and I never had Dilaudid in my life. And I remember Paul telling Mark, the foot doctor, make sure she gets Dilaudid. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, oh, it's like 10 times Percocet. It's like one Dilaudid is 10 Percocet. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to be incoherent? Like, are you trying to kill me? But I think they gave me, I had morphine. And then I had, I remember when I came back, I had the hospital gown like on with like a pair of jeans or something. And when I went into my hotel room, everybody was in my room. Everybody was in my room, and I went in there and I got into bed because I was loopy, and I'll tell you a story if you want to hear it. I can't name names though, because I don't want heat, but I was laying in the bed, and there were like 20, 30 guys, and some guys brought beer. They had food because we were a family, and everybody wanted to see if I was okay or not, and they were checking in on me, and I wanted the company. And so everybody was just sitting there drinking, having a good time. And a guy that was a wrestler came into the room and suggested, and I heard this from three different people at three different times, so I know it's true, suggested that because I was on morphine and because I was kind of out of it, that they all take advantage.
Oh.
And, I didn't know this till after the fact, but I thank God that I had that locker room that I did have, because right. I've heard horror stories about some of the boys doing crazy stuff to like groupies or whatever.
That was way back in the day.
In the 80s, I heard all these crazy stories. And like, I think back and I'm just like, my God, it could have been me. Like, I don't mean to bring a damper to this, podcast, but this is what's triggering my brain. Like three different guys told me the next day, like they were ready to beat the crap out of him. And he didn't last long after that. He was gone.
Right.
They weeded him out.
Yeah. He just was, he was there for a little bit and then this happened. And then they all threatened to beat the hell out of them. And here I am sitting there like with this this smile on my face, like just looking around, and that could have been the worst night of my life. But we were such a family. I never ever thought anything like that could happen with our core group. You know what I mean? He was an outside. I didn't even consider him part of our family because he wasn't.
But, maybe for shits and giggles, they should have just beat the hell out of him anyways.
Right.
I know they kicked him out of the room. Several of them escorted him right out of the room because he wasn't in there. Because there are things I do remember. Like, I wasn't so out of it that I don't. Like, I remember I woke up at one point and Mustafa was sitting in front of the television watching cartoons eating a sandwich.
Yeah.
Guido was sleeping on the floor in the corner on the other side of the room. Like, I remember certain things, but no one ever did anything crazy like that story. To me, that's the worst thing I ever heard.
Probably put Mustafa in there to make sure to watch over you.
There was still people were coming in and out, but there was one point where there was like 20, like people were just sitting on the bed asking me how I was feeling, and then they brought some beer in and they just didn't want me to be by myself, which I thought was nice. But then it was a point where I was like, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I was in pain and I think my meds were coming off. And then the next day I had crutches and we went to, maybe it was the week after. I remember I was on crutches for 7 weeks. So I had my crutches, I was sitting against the wall and I had my purse. And I remember maybe Balls Mahoney or something, "Where's your Dilaudid?" And I was like, "It's in my purse." And my purse was like 2 feet away from me. He's like, "Oh, can I just have," and I'm like, "No, they gave me 30 of them. Like, there's no refill, get out of here." Like, I would take one every 4 to 6 hours. It's like, "Can I just have a couple of them?" I'm like, "No, you can't." You know, I don't know, but it was just like, that's, I knew who I can trust, and there were just a handful of people that were just not meant to be with us, and they weren't.
They were weird out quick.
Yeah. So,
all means that he can't wait. He's got his tickets for his next IWR show, which I got to do a little plug in here. IWR 19. Royalty Reigns is tickets are on sale right now at www.purplepass.com/IWR19. Front row is gone. Second row, maybe two seats left. Third row, maybe a few seats left. General admission is going fast. So, guys, get your tickets now. We have a great meet and greet with the Queen of Extreme, Francine.
Yeah,
do not want to miss it. Get your tickets.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, we'll see you there. Holly Wilson Pop Fest is September 15th and 16th, so you still got a little ways for the Monroe Pop Fest.
What's Pop Fest?
That's my other thing.
How many things do you have, Gary?
Gary does not sleep. He's got a full-time job at Ford, too.
Wow.
Yeah. He works 7 days a week, I think like 10 hours a day. So he wants to retire early.
I don't blame you. I really don't blame you. We
already old, so...
We all want to retire early. Is Pop Fest like a music thing?
Oh no, it's a comic convention. I don't know if you see behind me. I got a bunch of nerdy stuff behind me. Me and my wife are in our 11th year. Monroe used to be Monroe Comic Con. Now it's the Monroe Pop Fest. We have wrestlers, Power Rangers, lots of Marvel and DC artists, 180 or so vendors, and it's a good time. It's a 1.5-day show here in Monroe. We do for the community.
Fun. So. Okay.
It's a good time. Like Terry said, we're memory. So.
Yeah, it's at the fairgrounds. It's the real nice big building. Yeah, it's full. It's great show too. Yeah.
And Brad said he'll buy sparklers. So we have got your pyro hooked
up. Thanks, Brad. Yes, I need some kind of fanfare when I arrive in Monroe.
Queen wants pyro. The queen's going to get pyro. Brad also wants to know, Francine, did you enjoy your time at TNA?
You know, I did. Going into it, like it was when the company first started. So I was on the first ever TNA show, and that was when you had to pay $10 to watch it. Because it was like a pay-per-view thing and you had to pay 10 bucks to watch it every week. So when I got the phone call, Bob Ryder had called me and, the contract was only for 4 dates. And then he said, you know, we'll see how it progresses after, you know, you're here for a little bit. So I liked it. I mean, I was kind of looking for that ECW atmosphere. I never really wanted to work for WWE. So when I heard about TNA, I was like, oh, it's a startup. That should be fun. Everybody's fresh, you know, clean slate. And I don't know. It was just like they just didn't know what to do with me, I guess. And like Jerry Jarrett just kept having like, Ed Ferrara grabbed my boob. Like, he grabbed my boob on 3 of the 4 shots I was on. And I was like, finally, I said, why do we keep grabbing my boob? Like, is there a payoff to him grabbing my boob? Like, what's next, you know? And Jerry was kind of like, what, are you saying you don't want to do this anymore? And I'm just saying, I don't know where this is leading.
Right, right.
What's the point of him to keep grabbing my boob? Like, it doesn't make any sense. You know, and then they had something where my fourth appearance, I took a bump from, I think it was from Blue Meanie or something. And they wanted me to sell, like my neck was injured. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're going to have me come back. So I did all my indie appearances in a neck brace, trying to build up the angle. And they never renewed my contract.
Hey, on a good note, we just sold a calendar that we haven't made yet. So.
See, I told you.
You're already making us money already, and she hasn't even shown up yet.
I told you. I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, overall, I did enjoy the time that I spent there. I just wish it could have been longer, and I could have did something more memorable than have my boob grabbed.
Right. So when you're pitching the angle, you want to grab my boob, I'm going to say no. You'll me and send me away.
Yeah,
do something. Write that down now.
Let's do something different. Let's leave the boobs out of this time, you know? Right. I don't know. Just an opinion.
Oh, we'll grab Terry's boob.
Yeah, I'll grab your boob instead.
Right.
Nipple twister. Two of them.
Right. Double nipple twister.
That's
for Terry.
Spot right there. Twister. I'm working that in. I'm working that in Michigan.
This I can't wait to see. Yeah. Bill wants to say hi, everybody. Happy Thursday. Great guest today. Yes, Bill.
Aww, thanks, Bill. Thank you so much.
We got a lot more here, but we need to talk a little bit about the show real quick. So we got King Latimer, our new IWR World Heavyweight Champion, Thomas Latimer, the King. King Latimer is going to team 18 Special Forces.
Yeah,
new group coming in that we're looking forward to showcasing. And Miss Canada and John A. Bravo will be in their corner, and they're facing Dread King Logan, our former champion, the DBA, and some other guy.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, you, yeah. The man beats himself, Rhino.
I'm ready. And then we got the rematch with Jason Hotch.
People are excited about this rematch.
I'm excited.
Hotch, what about Sam Beal?
Sam Beal?
Oh, yeah.
I love Sam.
You love Sam?
Yes, I love Sam. I'm excited to see Sam.
Well, Sam Beal?
I didn't even know who Sam Beal was.
I'm not.
Because for Impact, see, you don't pay attention to the show. About a year ago.
Have you ever watched Impact, Terry?
Have you ever heard of Impact Wrestling? I guess it was a year ago. I did a thing for TV over the phone with Brian Myers and Sam.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. And so it made TV. It was on TV.
Right.
We did a promo, but Sam was in the promo.
Oh, okay.
he was, just, and then he followed me right away on Twitter. So I followed him back because I had met him on FaceTime over the phone when we did the deal. And then I was at a convention and he came over to my table to say hello. So I got up and I gave him a hug. And now we correspond a little bit on Twitter, but he's such a sweet, sweet man. And
yeah, he is.
Not at IWR, he's not.
No, people don't like him. He's a heel.
He was a fan favorite of 2022. People
chose him. Yeah, he was, believe it or not.
See?
Yeah.
So, he's the Permanentor.
Right. He's a mainstay. Well,
he did this today, telling us we better be nice to Francine the Queen, or else there will be the pay at in March. So, on March 23rd. So, warned
us. Very nice to the Queen.
Yes. But I'm excited to see Sam, and I'm excited to see you guys. But continue. I'm sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Just mention some matches. We got Madman Fulton facing Zach Thomas, which is coming up pretty soon. We got some other great matches being announced. The tag team champions, the Rascals, will be in the house defending their tag team championships. And we're talking about Jason Hotch offered up a rematch to Rich Swann because, they're in the count.
On the rope, yeah.
Put on the rope. So he did the honorable thing, offered Swann another chance at the United States Championship, and Swann has taken it. So can't wait to get Rich Swann back in Monroe and see what happens in Swann versus Hotch 2.
Yeah. So my phone's actually going to go out. I only have 5%.
I told you. Did I tell you?
You need to charge your phone before you do these things.
I know.
Plug it in at least.
I don't have my charger, but
amateur. Good Lord.
Right.
Well, okay. I guess we're going to have to cut this interview short.
Francine, do you want to plug like where fans can get a hold of you, and you do have Cameo and stuff?
Yeah, they can get a hold of me at ECW Diva Francine, and I'm on Twitter and IG for that. PWTs, just type in Francine if you're interested. I think there's like 10 different shirts on there. My favorite shirt, You Can't Work a Worker.
Nice.
I love that shirt. So, and I'm on Cameo. And
I've seen quite a few like fans post your Cameo. They're actually, you get creative with them.
I try to. A lot of them are marked private because a lot of them I am really mean because they want me to be.
Well, these were the nice ones.
Those are the nice ones. But there are some of them that are out there. And it's fun. So.
Well, I'm just going to tell everybody that's on the list. We didn't get to you. We're sorry, but we have to go.
Oh, but thanks everybody for watching.
Terry's going to leave us here in a second, and we don't want to lose Terry. So
we got a curtsy on the way out. Usually we do a double bicep pump, but
Michelle did ask for it. She's in there asking for it.
I'm trying to work out. I have a little bit of a peak.
See that.
Tiny.
You put Gary and I to shame.
Is that right?
Not yet. I will. By 3 weeks, I'm gonna be jacked. Can't wait.
3 weeks away. Yeah. We're very excited to have you.
I'm excited. Thank you for having me today and in the future. And I will talk to you before then. But Gary, I'm excited to meet you.
Oh, same here. Looking forward to it. I cannot wait.
Great.
We'll see you on the 23rd.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Subscribe. We'll see you guys later. And as we do always, we have to curtsy and say,
bye, Felicia.
Yes, thanks.